Hello and welcome. I'm Alexander.
I'm Simon.
And I'm Tony.
We are still very much needed in tech. This is episode 102, the first episode of 2020. So apparently we have survived yet another New Year's.
And another decade.
Well, it is a new decade. Well, technically we did survive the last one. Yeah, fair enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
However, there is something that won't survive today.
Yes.
Being January 14, 2020.
That's the best segue ever. Nicely done.
I think so, yeah.
So what's happening today, Tony?
Well, today is the end of life for Windows 7 and Server 2008 R2. So they are going to the grave.
They've been with us for quite a while.
Well, I think it's something like 11 years, right? 2009, I think, was the release date.
Yeah. And I would say it's been like that. That's been the challenge with both Windows 7 and Server 2008 R2, especially. It's been two very good operating systems.
Absolutely. They are highly liked by pretty much everyone.
A lot of things were introduced with Windows 7 and 2008 and 2008 R2 that we, in a way, take for granted, I would say, today.
Hyper-V?
And we, yeah. That small feature. So would you then say that Windows 7 is the parent of Azure?
Well, maybe not Windows 7, but maybe Server 2008 R2.
So what came first, server or client?
Yeah, that, by the way, was also the first server version that only came as x64, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, it should be, because you can run 2008 in 32-bit, right? But not R2.
Yeah, I think so. And even though 2003 was available as x64, it wasn't that widely spread.
No.
It's kind of fun, as you said, it was a very liked operating system, and in their respect still is. And it was the same with SQL Server 2008 R2. That the good thing is it was an amazing SQL Server. The bad thing is it wasn't an amazing SQL Server, because everybody and their cats still run 2008 R2.
Yeah, and I think that's like, if we are going to do something in this episode, it's basically telling people to upgrade. Or if you, for any reason, for real now, can't upgrade, by extended support ASAP.
Oh, yeah. And there's always the opportunity, or the possibility, I should say, to put things in Azure and save a lot of money that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might not always be feasible.
But I do think that, and many have said so on social media and so on, that after, so basically it's not today the world ends, but as soon as we start getting news of 0 days vulnerabilities in Windows 7 and 2008, it will be a very big target for the bad guys. And as we know, there are essential parts of our infrastructure, of different industries that run on those operating systems, and even older. But I think that since Windows 7 and 2008 have been around for so long and has been liked, we'll probably see that stick longer than we have seen 2003 and XP stick around.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
And to me, like, Windows 7 and 2008, it has a special place in my heart, since that was really the first operating system I worked with.
Dude.
In my professional career, like, I started off migrating to Windows 7.
Yeah. When I was your age, I had stuff like Windows NT. You know that my first certification was on Windows NT 4, right? Back in 1998. Now, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens, as you say, as we see more and more security vulnerabilities in old stuff. And
yeah.
So do you think that people are going to keep patching their 2008 servers, or are they just going to leave them running and hope for the best?
I think so. You can pretty much see the same pattern in 2000, 2003 as well. So those people who haven't upgraded yet or moved away from those, they will probably just keep running them just as usual without patching. That's sad truth.
Yeah, I think there will be many organizations that don't see the value in buying that extended support. Even if it's for client, it's fairly cheap. It's more expensive for server. But I don't think that the number of organizations that would and will need that, I think it's very few of them that actually will buy it.
So the rumor is, and this actually segues very well into a security thing, the rumor is that there is a huge security issue. There's a flaw in crypt32.dll, which is pretty much at the heart of all Windows operating systems like ever. And the rumor also says that Microsoft has quietly told, for instance, the defense and bits and pieces of the government, and had them sign NDAs not to say anything before the patch, and that tomorrow there will be a new patch rolled out to fix this. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the question is, will there be a patch for Windows 7 as well, 2008 R2? Since,
that
I mean, theoretically, it's falls outside of the supported scope, so...
Mm-hmm. But they did release patches for XP outside of the support time, even for non-extended support customers at one point.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. I think it was a few months after end of support, right?
And I think that if what Alex is saying is true,
mm-hmm.
and Microsoft weren't to release that patch, I think that would be a very tough marketing hit to Microsoft, that you're basically trying to force organizations to buy extended support, and you do it with one day.
That wouldn't look good at all, actually. So
I would be surprised if that's the case and they don't release anything. I would be very surprised.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yep.
So what's on the docket for 2020? I mean, it's a new year. It's always interesting to think of what's going to happen this year. And it's always interesting to see in December just how much we got wrong. So what is going to happen 2020? Is the AI going to take over? Are we going to be out of a job? Will we find ourselves working only with Excel in December? Any ideas? What's your thoughts on things? I cannot for the life of me see Tony work with Excel, but that's a whole different story.
I work with Excel all the time.
Excel Server 2008.
Well, maybe not that much.
Oh my.
But, you know, still working a lot with PowerShell, you usually need some sort of input-output lists, and those are usually handled in Excel.
Interesting.
I'm expecting to see the continued... I think, like 2020, I'm not expecting any huge things, to be honest. I think we're, in a way, past that. What I'm looking forward to the most is, of course, Surface Duo and Neo.
Oh, yeah.
Because I, of course, need a new phone less than a year after I just got my new one. But that's another thing. I think that's probably what I'm looking forward to the most. But I'm also looking forward to seeing what started or became very much clearer at Ignite, to see where this hybrid first story ends up. And not in terms of what you can do, but in terms of what customers actually will do. So how customers will adopt the opportunities which they are now given or offered. So as an example, a very, very obvious thing, every single customer that runs Microsoft Endpoint Manager, Configuration Manager, now have free licenses to use Intune for those Windows devices. So they, at no extra cost, can co-manage every single Windows device they have.
Will they?
Exactly, and I can't for my life see why they wouldn't do that. Not any good reasons, but I may be slightly biased. But I think that will be the case. Now when we have everything that people have yelled for years, we need some really good hybrid options. Will they implement them? And I hope we'll see a really great push for that, both server side and or cloud side and workplace side. But I fear that it will be a lot of same old, same old.
Well, from my view on things is one of the things that was released on, or I should say at Microsoft Ignite, was the Synapse Analytics, which is pretty much the bundling of Data Lake, Azure SQL Data Warehouse, some big data processing stuff, and notebooks. The thing is, it doesn't exist. So the only parts of Synapse that actually exist today are the old SQL Data Warehouse, which are amazing, but they that's just one of many bits and pieces. So I'm really looking forward to fleshing out Synapse this year, because I'm starting to think that Synapse might be something that will edge out Databricks over time, because Databricks is a non-Microsoft offering. It is managed Apache Spark. And you can do pretty much the same thing, or you're supposed to be able to do pretty much the same thing with Azure Synapse Analytics over time. And I've always been kind of curious that Microsoft took away their USQL and their Data Lake Analytics a couple of years back and used Databricks instead. I mean, Databricks is an amazing offering, but it is not entirely controlled by Microsoft. So we'll see where from Synapse will end up.
And I'm very curious to see how much Azure Arc will be developed during the year as well. I haven't really had a chance to play with it yet, but since they announced it at Ignite, I'm expecting it to pretty much explode during 2020.
Another thing, and that's connected to Arc, I'm looking forward to see other edge computing initiatives. So what can you run on the edge? I know about a few things that will be absolutely amazing to get on the edge. Things that some organizations or some people perhaps weren't expecting, that I'll start to evaluate shortly. But I think that will be the next thing as well, to make real edge computing a commodity. Because today it's basically Azure Stack and the different versions of Azure Stack that are considered real edge in combination with some machine learning stuff. But I think we can see a lot more on how you can use cloud technology in a disconnected or badly connected scenario.
That's a good point. And also, while we're talking edge, Azure IoT Edge.
Yeah.
And the opportunities opens up when you're not necessarily always required to be connected to the internet. I mean, just the ability to store and somewhat handle a stream on an edge device before you send it into Event Hub or whatever you want to put it in the cloud. That's pretty darn powerful.
And speaking about edge.
Oh, yeah. You're on fire today, man.
Oh, yeah. I think Tony started off in a good way, and that inspired me to keep on going, living on the edge. Tomorrow is a birthday as well, since if everything goes according to plan, the new Edge will be officially released as generally available, and we'll see how quick it ends up in Windows. I would hope as soon as possible, because I absolutely love it, and I think that I had a discussion with one of my customers just last week. How will we handle having two different Edge browsers for real, plus Internet Explorer on our Windows machines? How can we synchronize? And in their case, and in many other cases, I would assume, still have Chrome as well. So I think that will be the most common scenario would probably be Internet Explorer, the old Microsoft Edge, the new Chromium-based Microsoft Edge, and Chrome or Firefox. I think that will be the absolutely most common approach for many organizations, and how to manage that, how to keep favorites in sync, things like that.
what I've heard or read is that Edge is not going to be around for consumers. Because Windows Home and Windows Pro PCs are going to just switch over, period. And business users have a choice. Is that what you've heard as well?
I would assume that they would do it in that way because they aren't 100% compatible.
Well, the old Edge is not compatible to anything.
That's not true, and you know it.
Yes, I know you're wrong, Simon. It's okay.
Go back to Excel. Play with your so-called power tools.
Ooh, someone just tossed the gauntlet. No, it's going to be fun to see the Edge Chromium because I was skeptical, which is my base state.
And, yeah, that's your default.
Yeah, and Tony was furious, most likely because he was doing it wrong. But that's
he was really on the edge.
Yeah, because he was using something else.
Yeah, well, you know, Chromium. just not the Microsoft.
Vanilla.
Yeah, just not the Microsoft one.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I thought so.
But yeah, I've been super happy with it. One of my main gripes, which is the complete lack of add-ins for the old Edge, is handled fine. And the sync works flawlessly for me, which is great. So I'm super happy with it.
Yeah, I think the sync is pretty much the only thing that I haven't gotten to work yet. But I pretty much know what the problem is, and I just haven't done anything about it. I think it's because I had like a corrupt Chrome profile previously on that machine. So everything works except the sync thing. You just can't connect it to anything. But then again, that's just the one machine that I have it installed on for testing purposes. So it's nothing serious.
Yeah. So do we have any ideas for what's going to happen with the blog and the podcasts or so on and so forth? I think we're kind of in agreement that we're going to keep doing roughly 30 minutes and around every week, of course, depending on our schedules.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners have anything to add to that, how would you like Needy Bean Tech to turn out or change for better or for worse? Please get in touch with us, and we are happy to get your feedback.
Yeah, hopefully for the better in that case. I wouldn't expect our listeners to want us to change to the worse. That
depends,
would be a strange request.
Depends.
Well, like, I've had some, worse.
Yeah, so, some people may think that we are too happy.
Okay, so decrease our happiness.
Oh, God.
Hashtag of the year.
It took 2 weeks, guys, before you started to use decrease again.
Yeah, we need to do it more often.
Yeah, what happens at Microsoft Ignite stays on the podcast.
We'll keep doing that. We will probably be both blogging, depending on how much time we got. Podcasting, of course, will be around on a number of different conferences and events and so on. I still aim to start producing some more video content, but we'll see. Like, it's been the first couple of months at Chusek have been very fun, but also very hectic. So we'll see how it turns out. But my schedule is filling up for the coming months, so I'll be around.
Oh, yeah. We've been at this for a while, so...
Yeah, I'm also hoping to get more blog content out during this year. I got off to a good start last year, but then it kind of fell off the map. So I will try to get more posts out this year, definitely.
Yep. And as Simon said, if there is something that you listeners would prefer for us to cover, ask a question, shoot us an email, or poke us on Twitter, and we'll be more than happy to both try to answer a question, discuss something, or find someone to talk to that might actually help.
Yeah, and I'm also looking into some new revolutionary Knee Deep in Tech swag. So if there's anything that our listeners or my dear co-hosts would like to see as swag with a Knee Deep in Tech logo on, let us know. So where will we be? Tony, as just you're now officially a customer. That's why we are so nice to you for once.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
It depends on our kindness works or not.
Not too long. So Simon Tony used to be a consultant that since then came in from the cold. So he is now firmly ensconced at the customer side.
So where are we traveling the coming months?
Oh my. That's a good one. I have moved over my my page that says where I'm going to be. My speaking engagements. I've just moved that over to Knee Deep in Tech from my other blog. So just let me know, Simon, and I'll hack one together for you too.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm flying to Milan in 2 weeks for Ignite Tour, where I'll be speaking and staffing.
There you go.
Yeah, we will all three of us were in Milan a couple of years ago. We didn't have perhaps the best experience. We were in Milan at a certain trip.
Oh, yeah.
But the day we had in Milan didn't turn out as good as expected, I would say. So I'm really looking forward to going back, and I can't wait to have some proper Italian food.
Cool.
Speaking of Ignite, actually, has anyone heard any rumors regarding this year's Ignite yet?
Apparently this week we should be hearing something, according to Anna, who said something about that in her podcast. And she has also said on Twitter that stay tuned information will be coming soon. So cool. I would hope this week.
Do you have any hopes for any announcements? Will it be Orlando again?
I don't really know what to expect. This is very uncommon of them to do
it in this way. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, the last time they did this were in Chicago, because they really wasn't happy with the Chicago Convention Center. But at that point, that was like a total surprise to them that they were to change Convention Center. And they still managed to get a date and a location out fairly quickly, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
I don't know what happened. Like, we know that there will be the same date as last year, will be the election dates for the US, which would probably interfere with a lot of things.
Just a wee bit.
So that's one thing. I also felt that there were some people that thought it was too late. People that thought that Orlando in November wasn't the best in terms of weather. This was the best year weather-wise, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But I really don't know why this is taking so long and how they would move it around. I would be surprised if they were to move from Orlando. It's just a question on when they will run it. Would be my guess.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a huge behemoth to move around, and it is going to have some pretty big impact on other conferences that are betting that it's not going to be on the same time.
Exactly. And I think I would say that on a personal level, of course, it's good to be able to plan, but I would say that the ones that will be hurt by the dates potentially will be other conferences.
Of course.
So in the interest of the entire community, I would hope that they would announce it soon, and that it would be and that they won't be moving it too far in time. And it would probably then be moved to an earlier date, because later would probably be impossible. Which also gives them a very small gap. It would basically be October.
Probably, yeah.
They don't want it in the middle of the hurricane season. They don't want it during the election. They don't want it after the election. And there you have like 3 weeks in October.
Yeah. Trouble is, there's probably going to be others with the same reasoning.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of pretty big conferences in the U.S. after Milan, where are you going?
Munich to Agile Disrupt.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that will be great fun as well. Then I'll be going to Ignite Tour in Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
Staffing one day. And then we have MVP Summit in Seattle. I actually have Trusex, or to be completely fair, after Copenhagen, I have Trusex Security Summit, where I'll be speaking, followed by MVP Summit in Seattle. I'll then fly straight to... No, I'm even messing that up. I have one Geek Week in Stockholm. That's the week before. So I have Geek Week in Stockholm first week of March. I then have Trusex Security Summit the week after in Stockholm. I'll then fly to Seattle for MVP Summit, and then fly straight to Chicago for Geek Week in Chicago.
And then you're going home for the divorce.
I'm going home. Now, brace yourselves. I'm going home for 1 week of vacation.
And then?
And then we start again.
And then you go for divorce. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Since we're speaking about divorces, where will you be traveling?
So I've already done the first speaking engagement for the year. I actually spoke for the PaaS Cloud Virtual Chapter on January 7th. That was good fun.
Old man yelling at clouds.
Yes, exactly. And it's even worse than that because I was talking about AI stuff. So,
oh,
I kind of outsourced the whole AI. Oh, God. Today, January the 14th, I am going to repeat the same session for the Norrköping data science community, which is going to be good fun. It's a relatively new community based out of Norrköping. In February, I am going back to Oslo. I'm going to the Nordic Infrastructure Conference again. And then it's time for the Scottish Summit later in February in Glasgow. And then I'm going to Victoria in Canada. So the weekend before the MVP Summit, I'll be presenting in Victoria, which is a couple of hours north of Seattle. It's going to be fun because I've never been to Canada.
No, I'm really jealous on that, to be honest. I was looking into staffing at Ignite Tour in Toronto, but I just couldn't make it.
Oh, cool.
Because I would love to go to Canada.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it and not had a good reason. But now this conference, it's a sequel Saturday. It is perfect in time, and a lot of other MVPs are going to be there. And then, of course, it's Data Grillen in Germany. And this year I will have a mentee, which is awesome. And I'll be rounding off the first half of the year with the Manchester Power BI user group.
Nice. Manchester is a brilliant city.
Yeah. And what's even more fun is that they reached out to me and asked if I wanted to come over and speak. And that has not happened before. It's very humbling. And Tony, you're going to be spending the rest of the year in your new work-from-home office, right?
Well, I suppose most of the time, at least. I will probably be traveling, but I just don't quite know where to or when as of now. I know the Ignite thing will probably most likely be coming through, but since we don't know any details yet, I can't really tell. But we have talked about me going to visit some local offices here and there. I just don't know really when at the moment.
So the local offices of Sölvesborg and Sveg and other enormous places?
Yeah, maybe not those exact places, but you know, different, maybe European countries, maybe US. We'll see. I'll have to get back to you on that.
We'll ensure that you get a great experience flying KLM. Since we wouldn't allow you to fly anything else.
Don't remind me.
I just received my new cards and bag tags. I'm very, very happy.
And on that bombshell, it is actually time to end the first show of the year.
Yep.
It's good to be back, actually. But,
absolutely.
And I really enjoyed my my pretty long hiatus. I needed the vacation. So it's good to be back, and let's do a lot of damage to 2020, shall we?
Absolutely. Let's not survive this decade.
Okay. I'll hold you to that. All right. And thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in a week or so. Until then, take care and bye.
Bye.
Bye now.